Mike Dell's World, number 388 for November 1st, 2023, NAPOD POMO 23. That sounded official, didn't it? Anyway, yes, I am doing NAPOD POMO again this year. Got done with some surgery, so I'm running left-handed here. Had shoulder surgery last Thursday, and I'm recovering quite well. A little sore, but otherwise fine. I'm going to be in this sling for the next 6 weeks, so if I sound a little left-handed, that's why. Anyway, so I've had this idea, not an idea, I've had this subject matter on my mind for quite a while, and of course, as you know, I'm not the king of consistency. I am quite inconsistent, but we're going to change that at least for the next 30 days. And so today I'm going to talk about electric cars, mainly the difference, you know, the pros and cons between full electric, an EV, or a plug-in hybrid electric, or PHEV, or just a plain old hybrid. So I got some stuff listed out. The list that I have, I didn't create of pros and cons, so I'm probably going to disagree with some of what they came up with here, but we'll see. We'll see. So a little intro says, full electric cars, EVs, and plug-in hybrid electric cars each have their own set of advantages and disadvantages. That's what I just said, wasn't it? Anyway, some of the pros of a full electric vehicle is, number one, zero emissions. And that's BS. But there, I'll read what they said, and then I'm going to read what I think. Not read what I think, I'm going to say what I think. Anyway, full electric cars produce no tailpipe emissions, making them environmentally friendly. Well, yeah, they have no tailpipe emissions. Where does that electricity come from? You know, something got burnt, or something got reacted, or something got heated to create that electricity. Regardless of whether it comes out of your tailpipe or not, you know, the thing about electric, I think, you know, and not being an engineer type, what I think about electric is, you know, it's got to come from somewhere. So, you know, that's, you know, yeah, you're not gonna have any tailpipe emissions. So I guess I can agree with that. Lower operating costs. Electricity is generally cheaper than gasoline, and EVs typically have fewer moving parts than traditional vehicles, resulting in potentially lower maintenance costs. Well, yes and no. Yes, it can be cheaper to maintain an electric vehicle because, you know, there's no oil changes, and generally they're better on brakes because they do regenerative braking and all that good stuff. But electricity isn't always cheaper. In fact, in a lot of places, it's more expensive than gasoline. What was it, the CEO of Ford, Jim Farley, not the Jim Farley from What's Up With That that I used to do. In fact, I'm going to get him on here this month, hopefully, and maybe do one of those. That'd be fun. But anyway, Jim Farley, who is the CEO of Ford Motor Company, took off in a Ford Lightning and experienced some of the pitfalls of driving an electric vehicle. Not necessarily the cost, but he didn't enjoy it as much as he thought he would, which I thought was, you know, kind of funny. Like I said, I have nothing against completely EV, you know, complete EV vehicles, but they're not for everybody. And, you know, like California is trying to force, they've already passed a thing where by 2030, was it, that there's going to be no more internal combustion engine vehicles sold in the state of California. Okay, that might work out okay, but they have enough trouble keeping their power grid on as it is, you know, in the summertime, it, you know, everybody's running AC and whatnot. And, you know, I just don't see how that's going to work for them or anyone really, you know, and even up here, Northern Michigan, you know, the EVs don't do as well in the cold as they do in 70 degree weather or 100 degree weather. So we'll see. We'll see. Quiet operation. Yes, I agree with that 100%. EVs are generally quieter than vehicles with internal combustion engines. I just listened to an episode of 20,000 Hertz where they talked about the noise that is now required of EVs in certain states. They have to make a noise when they're at parking lot speeds. And some of those noises are kind of funny. You know, if I got to pick the noise, I want the George Jetson flying car noise. I think that'd be fun. Anyway, but yes, the EVs are quiet. Instant torque. And that's, you know, number four on the pros for the full EV. You know, electric motors provide instant torque, which can lead to quick acceleration. Yeah, they're fast. I guess that Tesla Plaid is something else. Ludicrous mode. And so that I guess would be an advantage, except for when are you going to use it? You know, that's like somebody buying a Lamborghini Huracan or some, you know, whatever the new Lamborghini is, to go, you know, well, it goes 200 miles an hour. I said, well, yeah, but where are you going to use that? Same thing with this instant acceleration. It's cool. It's a party trick. But I don't know if practically, you know, I guess if you live in an area where there's a lot of traffic and stuff, that could be pretty handy. I don't know. Incentives. That's another thing. Many governments around the world, around the country, offer tax breaks, rebates, and other incentives for purchasing an electric vehicle. Yeah, for now. But when all vehicles are electric, you know, what? Are they going to do that? Okay, reduce dependence on oil. Using EVs can reduce a country's dependence on imported oil. Okay, again, the electricity's got to come from somewhere. Burning natural gas, coal, nuke. If it's nuke, and then, okay, I'm all for it. But, you know, a lot of people that are for electric cars are against nuke. And nuclear energy is probably the one way that this would make sense, to having, you know, everybody be on an electric car. And some of the cons, limited range. Some EVs have a limited driving range. All have a limited driving range, not just some. But compared to gasoline vehicles, of course, there's limited range. Now, you know, you get a fancy Tesla and you're in an area where there's a lot of Tesla chargers, or along your route, there's a lot of Tesla chargers, and they're not busy, and they're all working, and, you know, you can drive cross country in a Tesla. You know, and you spend an hour here, spend an hour there charging, and, you know, it's not significantly different than driving a gasoline-powered vehicle. But try doing that across Interstate 80. I remember between Laramie, Wyoming, and Ogden, Utah, that chunk through there. You can barely get there on one tank of gasoline. I can't imagine an EV doing that, but could happen. And that's been a long time since I've been out there, so maybe there are more charging. Of course, another one of the cons is a longer refueling time. Of course, charging an EV can take longer than filling up a gas tank. It can, yeah, it does. But again, you know, think you're on a trip and you stop for lunch or dinner or whatever, just to walk around, hit the restroom, whatnot, you know, it may not be significantly longer depending on how you do it, you know, but when I'm on a road trip and I want to get somewhere, you know, I stop for fuel, and while I'm getting fuel, I get something to eat, and I get to, you know, hit the bathroom and all that, and I'm back in the vehicle 15 minutes, something like that. you know, a lot of these electric cars, you got to spend, you know, 45 minutes to an hour just to get to the next charging station, which you're going to do another 45 minutes to an hour of charging time. And fully charge the car could take 3, 4, 5 hours. So, you know. Another disadvantage is charging infrastructure. While growing EV charging infrastructure is not as widespread as gasoline. Wow, I can't read worth a crap today. That's okay. But you get the point. The point is they don't have it all built out yet. And, you know, how long is it going to take to completely build out the charging stations and whatnot? So, you know, it could be that you get in an area where there's 4 chargers. Yeah. Here in Traverse City, I can think of 3 electric charging stations. One's at a Meijer store, which is kind of like a Walmart, but a Midwest thing. There's some there. There's some at a Burger King here in town. And I know there's one other, but I'm not exactly sure where. But the funny thing is I go to the one, go drive by the one Meijer's there, and they have like 4 chargers maybe or 6. And every once in a while I see a car there, but I don't see a lot. And on this side of town at the Burger King, it's a Blink charger, and I think they have 4 charging stations there, and I don't see any. I've never seen a car parked at the EV charger. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but, you know, I've never seen it. Now, when I've gone to Columbus for work, the hotel I stay at has Tesla chargers, and usually there's at least 1 Tesla parked there at the hotel. Okay, yeah, maybe if I lived in Columbus, that would be a viable option. But living around here, you know, now I'd probably have a charger set up at home, which, you know, would be much more convenient and probably would use it. But again, you know, there's nothing particularly wrong about these things. It's just, you know, there's a particular mission that they work for and some that not really. Let's see, higher upfront costs. Yeah, that's true. Although prices are coming down, EVs can have a higher initial purchase price than a traditional vehicle. They can. Depends, you know. But, you know, if you're going to buy a Tesla, of course, you're gonna pay a lot of extra money for a Tesla. Tesla's obviously the best of the best, or maybe Rivian, which is even more expensive. And, you know, I do see a bunch of Rivians around here and Teslas. So I don't know. They must charge at home or something, or maybe I just don't know where the public chargers are since I'm not in that market. But yes, they can be more expensive. Also, battery degradation. EVs, you know, the batteries only last so many cycles. You know, it's like your phone, your iPhone or your Android. You know, after a couple of years, it doesn't hold as much charge as it used to. And, you know, to change a battery is like changing an engine in a car, you know, in a gas-powered car. You're going to spend $4,000, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000 for that. And, you know, is it worth it? So kind of throws it away. And that kind of screws up the whole environmental thing, too. I read a study somewhere, and I wish I had it. If I did, if I could find it, I would put it in the links here. But they say that an electric car, say a Tesla Model 3, and you bought a brand new Tesla Model 3, and you bought a brand new Chevy Suburban with a 6.2-liter V8 engine in it, okay? And you bought both of them at the same time. Both of them cost roughly the same amount of money, maybe a little more for the Suburban. But over its lifetime, say you drive it 250,000 miles. I've never heard of a Tesla going 250,000 miles, but let's just, for instance, say it did. And so you drive that Tesla 250,000 miles and you drive that Suburban 250,000 miles. That Suburban is going to put out less pollution in the atmosphere than that Tesla. You know, because you got to mine the stuff. Probably you're going to change the battery at least once on the Tesla. You may end up changing an engine on the Suburban, but the engine, you know, doesn't take up significant amounts of any raw materials other than some iron and and whatnot, plastics. But the paraphrasing the study, that the Suburban was definitely a cleaner choice than the Tesla for a quarter million mile lifespan. So, you know, so a full electric vehicle in my particular case is probably not going to be what I'm going to get. I would more go for the plug-in hybrid or just the plain old hybrid. Probably a plug-in. Because, again, I could plug it in at home. For a lot of my missions, I could definitely do all electric, you know, like going to doctor's appointments and going shopping and going out to dinner and, you know, all this stuff. But then I would also have that choice. If I wanted to go on a longer ride, I could. You know, most plug-in hybrids, you know, go quite a ways. I rented one time. It was a Ford, their mid-sized car, whatever that was, Fusion. So Ford Fusion plug-in hybrid. I rented one, and the thing got 47 miles to the gallon of gas, and I drove it to Columbus and back for work. It was great, you know, and half the time the engine's not running. You can't really tell because they're super quiet, whether the engine's running or not. But it got 47 miles to the gallon. It was quiet, and, you know, I could totally see that, you know, and driving around in downtown Columbus, the thing was charged up because I'd been driving it on the highway. I didn't plug it in the whole time I had it. But you don't have to with those. But anyway, here's some of the stuff that this list came up with. Flexibility. Plug-in hybrid electric vehicles can run on electricity for a short trip and switch to gasoline for longer ones, providing the best of both worlds. Agree, 100%. Much more flexible. Reduced emissions. Well, not zero emission. When using gasoline, plug-in hybrids generally emit less than traditional vehicles. And that's true, because the electric motor helps on acceleration and all that. So tailpipe emissions are reduced. Again, you still got that battery problem, but not as much as with a full electric, because the batteries aren't as big on the plug-ins. Incentives, just like the EVs, many governments can offer incentives for purchasing a plug-in hybrid. So, yeah, that's a thing. It may not always be a thing, but it's a thing. Let's see. Less range anxiety. Gasoline engine can act as a backup when the battery is depleted. Yeah, I mean, it's just a normal car. You know, in practicality, it's just a normal car. So, you know, and that goes for regular hybrids or plug-in hybrids. It's a great thing. And infrastructure for charging, you don't have to worry so much about that. Now, if you feel like doing it, you could stop and plug in your, plug-in hybrid, but you don't have to, and that's the beauty of it. And since they have a smaller battery, you could plug it into just plain old 110 here in the States, or 220 everywhere else. You know, class one charger would probably help, you know. If I had one, I would probably plug the thing in, and when I got in the garage, you know, every night, that'd be fine, you know, and it would probably be just fine. But you don't ever really have to plug them in either, so that's kind of a good thing. So here's the cons they come up with on this list. Like I said, this is a list that I didn't create, but thought it was a good subject matter. One of the cons of a plug-in hybrid is it still uses gasoline. Yeah, duh. That's its advantage, if you ask me, but that's a con here listed. Complexity. Having both an electric motor and a gasoline engine can lead to more complex maintenance and potential repairs. True, but again, the electric side of that is much less maintenance than the gasoline side, and since it is a plug-in hybrid and you will be running in full EV mode once in a while or some of the time, or even when you're not, it's less stress and strain on the engine. Because generally, they have smaller engines. What is that? BMW. There was a BMW model that I thought was pretty good, plug-in hybrid, that had a little three-cylinder engine and, you know, plus the battery, and the thing would go 100 miles or so on pure electric. And basically, the gasoline engine just charged the battery. So it was actually running electric mode all the time, just sometimes the engine's running, sometimes it's not. And I don't see why that's much more complicated than a regular gas car. So, and a higher cost, of course, higher upfront cost, because you're buying the battery and the second drivetrain, basically. So, yeah, that makes sense. Limited electric range. Well, yeah, because it's going to have smaller batteries. Of course, you could get a plug-in hybrid that has the full battery. I think there's a couple of them out there where you can go 300 miles on electric and it still has an engine. So that's kind of cool. And weight. Yes, they are heavy. But when you live up here in the north where the snow flies, heavy might not be a bad thing. At least not for getting going, sometimes for stopping. But in summary, the choice between a full EV and a plug-in hybrid depends on individual needs, driving habits, and priorities. Both options contribute to reducing greenhouse emissions. I still don't believe that. That was me interjecting while reading. Compared to the traditional gasoline-powered vehicles. So, yeah, the bottom line is I don't think I will go for a full electric vehicle. Now, I could see maybe if it was a second car or a third car, you know, I could see having something that's full electric. You know, if, say, I commuted. I don't commute. Well, my commute's 45 feet out the back door to my office here. But say I commuted like I used to when I worked at the print shop. I think I commuted 2.5 miles, maybe 3 miles. I could see having a full electric car for that mission. But it couldn't be my primary vehicle because I still, you know, would like the option to be able to go on long trips without having to worry about it or without having to rent a car or whatever. But, you know, I could see that in that case. I could see a full electric, you know, if I was, you know, say I was retired and all I did was go to doctor's appointments and grocery shopping and whatever. Yeah, doctor's appointments are on my mind since I've been doing a lot of that lately. But anyway, you get my drift. You know, if you're not taking long trips, you're, you know, just going to be putzing around town. Yeah, might be fun. But then again, you could probably go get a, a golf cart for, you know, a lot of places. But anyway, so that's my gist. I don't know, something just popped up on my screen here while recording, so I don't know what that means, but it still seems to be recording, so we'll just go with it. But yeah, I could see myself driving a plug-in hybrid for sure, because there's no real compromise there. Now, you know, you look at that Ford Lightning truck. It's a full-size pickup truck. If I was going to buy something like that, or say I bought something like that, and I, you know, I'm towing things. Well, towing things, you're not going to get the 300 miles or whatever out of it. You're going to get quarter of that. You know, if you're just putzing around town, you don't need anything that big. It just doesn't seem like a practical thing. But if I had a hybrid full-size truck where, you know, the electric assist sometimes or just to help the fuel mileage, that'd be totally fine. But like I said, don't buy into the thing that it's better for the environment because they're really not. Those lithium ion batteries and all the stuff they got to do to mine it and manufacture it and all of that stuff is not any better than, you know, the way gasoline or diesel engines are now. They're super clean. My uncle's got a full-size Ford diesel truck. He gets, you know, probably 15, 20 miles to the gallon. 20 miles to the gallon on the highway, 15 otherwise. And but that tailpipe, you could eat off of that tailpipe. It's just squeaky clean, no soot, no nothing. You know, gas cars, same way. They're very, very clean now. So, you know, I don't see where the environmental side of it is that much of an advantage. I just don't. But I could be wrong. Anyway, yeah, all my episodes this month are not going to be this long or this red. I just had this one in my craw for a long time, so I wanted to get it out. Going forward, it's just going to be whatever happens. And be sure to check out napodpomo.org. And this year, they're really getting organized. We're having daily live, you know, live shows over there. Jennifer and her team over at Napod Pomo are doing that. We're doing some podcaster workshops, whether you're participating or not in you know, as a podcaster, you can still, you know, get in on those. They're just big giant Zoom calls and we talk about stuff. Blueberry, the company I work for, is a sponsor this year, and we'll be participating in some of the live shows and all that. And of course, if you don't already know, I'm the co-host of Podcast Insider that comes out every Thursday over at blueberry.com or podcastinsider.com. So anyway, get you tomorrow.